Welcome to the Real Talk with Tanya Sackowitz podcast, where we help parents and caregivers gain knowledge to increase their confidence and their success in caring for young children. We will cover topics like feeding your baby, getting your baby and you some much needed sleep, and pretty much anything else that has to do with caring for babies and their families after birth. Society sets parents up to fail, and we are here to change that. You can also find full video versions of each episode on our YouTube channel, Newborn Care Solutions. Thanks for tuning in. Good evening and welcome to Real Talk, where every Sunday night we offer insight, education, and resources to in-home caregivers and those that are affected in their world. That's the children, the parents, the extended family, and everyone who comes in contact with them. And our goal is to offer real life topics and learning through discussion of those topics, discussion of big issues, and offering real solutions. Tonight, I am really excited to welcome our guest, Rachel Lawrence from Homework Solutions. Welcome, Rachel.
Hi, Tanya.
So Rachel has been around the nanny, the newborn care specialist world for many years in a variety of capacities. Her bio's in the feed and you can find more information there. But she has done a variety of roles that gives her a really broad understanding of our industry. But in the last bit, she's been working for Homework Solutions and she has learned the ins and the outs of everything related to taxes around our industry. And so we're going to talk about that tonight. But I really want to give her an opportunity to kind of tell you a little bit about herself, more on the personal side, so that you can get to know Rachel a little bit, because she knows her stuff around taxes and the industry, but not everybody knows that Rachel's a mom. And Rachel has not one, not two, but three kids, and two of those are a set of twins. So tell us just a little bit about your kiddos and a little bit about some of the challenges of doing this as a mom.
Sure. So my oldest is Quinn. She's 8. And then as you mentioned, I have a set of twins, boy-girl twins. They are 5 and a half, almost 6. The girl, who's technically the oldest and definitely knows it, is Gray. And then my son, who's technically the baby of the family, is Emery. And I will use this opportunity to say, if not for the nannies and newborn care specialists I knew in this industry, I would not have survived the birth of my twins. It is an experience. And more than once, I have reached out to someone I knew in the industry and said, what might you do in this given situation? And they have given me advice that has paved the way to me being able to be successful as a mother of multiples.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I agree with you there. I have two children who were born apart by 3 and a half years. It does not change the fact that I can't tell you how many times I reached out to somebody in our industry saying, help, I don't know what I'm doing here. And now I have two teenagers. Holy cow, that's a whole different industry. I can't tell you how many conversations I've had with Sue Downey.
She's a great resource for that.
She is. So we've talked about just trading. I can have a little one, she can take my older one. So thanks for telling us a little bit about your kids and letting everybody get to know you a little bit better. I want to kind of dig into our topic for tonight, because this is probably one of the single biggest topics that comes up in the NCS world specifically. And we're going to focus tonight solely on how this applies to newborn care specialists. And that's, how do we get paid? And how do we bill our clients? Or do we? Or are we an employee? And essentially it comes down to, are newborn care specialists employees of the household, or are they not? And if they're not, how does that all work? Because there's so much information out there, a lot of it good, but a lot of it either fully inaccurate or maybe nuanced inaccurate, you know, little inaccuracies, but that ultimately, especially if you're going the route of owning a business and invoicing clients, if you don't do it right, you can end up in tax trouble, right?
Yes. Everybody wants to get paid. Everybody wants to keep as much of that money as they can and have it go to their home, their expenses, and avoid as many taxes and like you said, unexpected pitfalls down the road as they can. So yes, it's a very hot button topic in the NCS world.
Yes, absolutely. So essentially, for newborn care specialists, there are kind of two options for getting paid. Either you're an employee of the household, just like a nanny is, and falling under the same parameters as a nanny would, correct?
Mm-hmm.
That's one. And then the other one is to actually own your own business, do it right, and invoice your clients, correct?
Correct.
Right. So I want to talk about this. I want to talk about if somebody's in that position and they say, hey, Rachel, what do I do? Or, hey, Tanya, they ask me all the time. I send them to you guys because that's your expertise, not mine. But how do I choose? What do I know what's right? So let's start off with you telling us a little bit more specific about each option, what they look like and how they work.
Okay. So really great intro. Yes. Option one is you are the employee of the family that you work for. Some hallmarks of this are that they are, if somebody said only one person is in control of this relationship, we have to decide who it is. If you stacked things into different piles, it would end up being that the family had more control than the NCS. So that's a really good way to think about it. If the family is setting up the schedule, if they're telling you how to do the work, if you can't send in a substitute, these things are hallmarks of a traditional household employment relationship. You will get a W-2, the family's paying portions of taxes, you're paying employee portions of taxes. This is sort of what everyone's familiar with in the nanny world. In the NCS space, there's also this other alternative where you can own your own business. As Tanya hinted at, it's not that simple. You have to set it up correctly. But basically, again, hallmarks of this are that if you know push came to shove and you had to pick a person that was in charge, more of the things would be in the NCS's pile. So the NCS is saying, listen, this is when I have availability to come. Or I work 12s, I don't work 24s, or whatever it is, you're controlling some of that scheduling. Obviously, the parents are going to have some control over what happens with their child. So it's not an all or nothing scenario. But usually in these cases, the NCS is there providing a substantial amount of guidance, often for new parents, parents of multiples, some experience they haven't had before. So they're saying, these are the supplies we need. This is the way to start the good foundation for sleep training, good feeding schedules, latching, all of that good stuff. And so if in a court of law, somebody looked at this, they'd say, well, I feel like she really had a lot of control. And you can see that she has a backup, right? Many NCSs do this. If they aren't well, if they have to go somewhere, if clients overlap for some reason, they have a backup. And that's another hallmark of that the NCS is controlling the employment relationship.
And what about things like setting up a business, advertising to the public, things like that? What are some of the things that determine how a newborn care specialist can look at that and if they can choose at all?
Yeah. So again, if the family is completely controlling the relationship, there's no choice. Choice is off the table. You, by federal law, are the employee of the family that you work for because it is set up in an employer-employee relationship. For someone who says, I feel like I'm more interested in the business model and you want to flesh that out a little bit, all of the things we just talked about being hallmarks, but also, if push came to shove and the judge said, gosh, I feel like you were sort of both equally in control of the relationship. Things that are going to tip the scale over into the business scenario are things like you just mentioned. This NCS has multiple clients through the year. She has her own website. She has business cards. She's advertising and completing the same kind of work for others in the general community. It also brings up good points as far as when you're weighing these things out, there are obviously going to be different expenses to each and different time sinks to each. So take not just where does the law fall on this, but where do I want to come into this and how do I want this relationship to work? And, you know, do I really want to own a business? Do I want to file business taxes? Do I want to hire someone to build a website? All of these things are going to come into play just like they would for any other business. So, you know, I would suggest that you look at the whole picture, not just sort of the immediate pay and tax obligations of it. You know, certainly on the surface, taxes are less for the employee than they're going to be if you own your own business, because the employer pays the other half of FICA. In an employment relationship, the employee pays half of FICA, which is Social Security, Medicare, and the employer pays the other half. The employer also pays state and federal unemployment, which in normal non-pandemic times means this person can go get unemployment, whereas business owners, not necessarily. But when you really boil things down to the cost of doing business, advertising, marketing, more expensive business taxes, licenses, permits, possibly things like rent, although that's less a thing in the NCS world, you know, travel, whatever it is, it's not just about the wage anymore. You really have to take all of those components into account, not only as, you know, would a labor board determine me to be the employee or, you know, a business who was invoicing, but also what does it mean for my take home? Where am I left after all of my expenses? So which maybe is the better financial option for me?
Yeah, and I think a lot of times people don't really, if they've never been in the business world, they don't really have a clear understanding sometimes of all the expenses of associated with a business. I was chatting with somebody earlier today and I said, everybody thinks that I just sit back and collect a check. And it's like, if you had any idea of all the different software that we either have to own or pay to utilize and all the programs and everything that goes into it. And I have a more complex business, but even a basic business has a lot of behind the scenes expenses that people don't necessarily realize. And those come into play, don't they?
They do. I mean, you have things from general liability insurance to, like I said, things that maybe seem like smaller expenses, like license fees with the state or keeping up with different kind of tax filings that are more expensive, those sort of things. Or maybe the fact that you need an accountant now or a bookkeeper now to help you keep track of these things, because that's not what you're the best at, right? You're amazing at caring for children. And so you really have to take all of those things into account, because even the small things add up over the course of a month. Like you said, these memberships to, if you want to have a paid Zoom account, if you want to, whatever it is, you want to have a service that forwards to your cell phone from a main number, website fees, hosting fees, all these things, they add up to the point that you should take an honest look at this and say, okay, this seems appealing, but it doesn't make sense. Or this seems appealing and it does make sense. And really pick what's best for you. I know it's easy to sometimes talk in these groups and say, well, everybody else seems to be doing whatever. That's well and good, but everybody else may not be in the same situation as you. Or maybe the people that are in the same situation as you and picking the same choice you are just aren't talking about it. They're just not in that group, or they're just sitting back and listening. So you really should take all these things into account and make a decision for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Now, you mentioned earlier, so I want to touch back on one thing that you said just a couple of minutes ago, where you said federal law says if you meet these requirements, you're a household employee. So what if somebody says, yeah, well, federal law says that, but my state law says X, Y, Z? Which makes the final decision?
Wouldn't it be nice if there was such a clear answer on
Right?
that? Or if, you know, all 50 states had the same laws,
Wouldn't it?
all of those things. And, you know, on a general rule, I will use something that sort of points this out. I realize this may not necessarily translate to everyone in this audience, but California overtime is like this perfect example of that. So California is the only state in the union that has daily overtime, not just weekly. And it depends what duties you have as to whether that kicks in at 8 hours or 9 hours. Well, that's all well and good, but you can end up in a situation where you're following California state law on overtime perfectly. And you follow the 9 hour rule. And so you're like, okay, I'm going to work 9 hours or less than in a day. We don't have any overtime. Well, that's true on the daily California overtime, but when you hit 40 hours, now you fall under federal overtime laws. So it doesn't matter on that last day. You know, if you're working 5 hour or 5 days a week, it doesn't matter on that last day because now you're going to cross into a federal law, even if you were obeying the state one in the first place. So it's not always that easy. The general rule I will say, if you're in a pinch and you can't call, phone a friend, right? Like Tanya said, phone us. If you can't phone a friend, that can give you the nuances. Generally speaking, the law that is more favorable to the employee generally trumps the others. Because usually, and that's usually a state law, because states are usually more geared towards the employee than the feds are. But it's not that simple, right? So phone a friend.
Exactly. And I love that. I mean, I only do fill-in work now, so I'm the backup for other people. But when I take clients, if I take a client full on, if I'm working in California, and let's be real, I got a legit recognized business, I can qualify. I don't care. In California, I want to be an employee. I want the benefits of the overtime there.
It's
And I
true.
love it. So if I go there and work, but so assuming a newborn care specialist can choose either option, assume they're someone like me and they fit into both categories. So one of the questions I get a lot around that is, so can I do both? Can I be an employee of one family? And as long as everything is in line with a business, could I be, can I invoice another family? Can someone do that?
I would make sure that they are very clearly hallmarked as to why you picked one over another, just in case you ever had to straight face defend your decision in court. That's always what I tell people. Could whatever you're doing be defended in court with a straight face? And that, you know, so for you, you might have a business reason that was very easy for you to say, listen, I don't want this to fall under my business. This had nothing to do with my business. I was helping out a fellow NCS. And so, in that role, I am myself. I am not my business. Yes, absolutely. You could say, I pick this over that. But I would just say, if the opposing attorney came to you and say, what do you just do this willy-nilly? You just decide with any one family how you want to do this, you know, because they're going to be not nice to you. They're going to say, is it because this family has more money, you know, or whatever it is. So have an answer when, and have that answer not when you're sitting on the seat in court, but when you make the decision. Say, you know, this family wanted something different than most of my clients, and I knew that, you know, situations would turn out differently, so I picked this one. But yes, the ultimate answer is yes, you could pick. I would just, like with anything in your business, if you own a business or anything in your own personal employment, have good reasons why you make the decision. Don't do them on a whim. Know what you, the best advice I ever got in the nanny industry came from a veteran nanny agency owner. She said, know what you do, know what you don't do, and never mix those two things up. So, yeah.
Yep, and that's actually exactly why I do what I do. And when I do fill in, I like to be an employee because I'm working just me as a fill in, and it's something I don't do regularly as part of my business, so I feel like it should be separate from it. And that's exactly why I do it. So you nailed it. So if someone says to you, you know, I think I know what I want to do. I think I'm good. I think I want to set up my business and I want to do it this way. Tell us a little bit about some of the steps or some of the things they really need to look at if they want to get everything in order to move forward that way.
Sure. So first of all, this should, even if you have an inkling you want to go this way, don't set it in stone, right? Get through the process before you say, I can't turn around and change my mind. So if you say, you know, I've listened to this, I've done some other research, I've talked to some other NCSs, I feel like a business is where I want to go with this. Great. The other people you talk to may not have been in your state. Your state may be terrible to do this in because it might be really hard to jump through all the hoops. So, you know, say, yes, I think I want to do this and start the process. Say, what does it take to get a license? Do I just have to have a general business license here? Is there some caveat in my state where I might have to have some kind of child-related license or at least registry? Some places don't have licensing per se, but you have to register if you're associated with any kind of child-related business, those sort of things. So start the process. Start looking into it. You're going to need to set yourself up as a business in the eyes of at least the feds in the state, possibly local, so city, county, something like that. You know, don't say, well, I checkbox, I've done what the feds wanted. Go all the way through and make sure you're doing everything down to the city you live in or the township or whatever it is. In addition to that, know that you need to do things that separate you from the business personally, even if you're going to go like a sole proprietorship LLC route. You know, this shouldn't be going into your personal bank account. You should have a business bank account. Then, as the owner of said business, you can pay yourself wages or a salary. Also, in pandemic times, we are now finding out that was even more beneficial, right? Because now you're an employee of the business you worked for, and there were different qualifications for what kind of help you could get with that. So make sure you're setting this up in the way, not blurring lines, keeping everything the business and me, the business and me. Do not use your house as collateral, you know, those sort of things. And know that, as scary as it sounds, you are now a business doing business taxes. Certainly there are complicated business taxes. There are less complicated business taxes like a 1040 SE. But do it correctly. Don't just wing it. Go talk to an accountant at least. Get some frontline advice if you're not using a bookkeeper or an accountant moving forward, because you don't want to have something come back 2 years from now that now you owe penalties and interest on. You know, I would personally say if you've always been an employee and now you're moving to have a business, perhaps you should look at your fees again now that you have these business expenses that you're going to be taking on, now that you're paying what would have been the family's share of employment taxes. Maybe it's time to up your prices a little bit just so that you can break even on what your take-home pay would be. Look into all of those things. I mean, an example that we always use is if you take a $20,000 NCS job, and you work it as an employee, and the family's paying their part of the taxes, you're paying your part, you're going to have the family end up paying about, I think it's like $2,100, and you're going to take home about $1,600 of that. And, you know, think about what that means if you're a business. How do you get back to that same number while adding in the other expenses? You know, it's not that much extra money that you end up charging the family. It's like $500 to $1,000 on a $20,000 job, but it again gets you back to where you're square with these other expenses. Obviously, everybody's situation is going to be different. This is a very generalized example because insurance in Iowa is different than insurance in Texas and all of these things. But just to give an example, you might sort of do the math on both and figure out how to come back to even by raising your prices even a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so many things around that. And I love that you said, get this straight from the beginning. Because when I bought my first business a long, long time ago, I thought, oh, well, it's no big deal. I'll just collect all the money and then I'll pay my taxes at the end of the year. And I had help to do my taxes at the end of the year. And the first thing they said to me is, haven't you been paying your taxes quarterly? and haven't you? And I was like, no, no. Anyway, and I ended up with like this $12,000 tax bill, and I didn't have a lot of business income at that point. It was my first year in that business. But still, for somebody who was a sole owner of a small business, coming up with $12,000 was not easy. And because I couldn't come up with it right away, well, sure, the IRS took payments, but they also charge you for that privilege.
They do charge you for that privilege, and they only give you so many shots at that little loaner program. And you're right. Most people that are employees or not familiar with business ownership or having even their own household employees, taxes are an annual thing, right? It's just the way it's always been since the day you were 16 or how, you know, whenever you got your first job. And now these estimated quarterly payments, you sometimes do have to do them. You sometimes don't. I would say if you're making this kind of income, you should pretty much assume that you do. But again, with all things government and tax related, it's never like, yes, you always do, or no, you always don't. Go investigate. Get all the information. Again, maybe that first year, you're not required by law to do the quarterlies because you just went right under that threshold. But now, the next year, you assume that. You say, oh, well, I was fine last year doing annual payments. Well, this year you made $2,000 more money than you did last year. And now all of a sudden you were required to make quarterly payments. And because you didn't do them, now there's penalties and there's interest and all of these really fun things and fear and paperwork, right? You get that notice in the mail and you go, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. So,
right. So if someone is looking at this and thinking, you know, I've looked at all these things, I'm really interested, I want to have control over what's going on in my life. I want to set my schedule. I want to set my rates. I want to be able to say yes or no to whatever. And so they decide going business is the route they're going to go. Where do they find qualified tax information if they're looking to set this up, to make sure they're doing it right? Because I can't tell you how many people who say, oh yeah, I talked to this young girl at such and such tax company, and they told me I don't have to do that. Why are you telling me I do? Where do they find quality help?
So much in the same way that an NCS or a nanny falls under the category of child care, does not mean that all child care providers are NCSs and nannies. This is the same kind of analogy I use in tax world. Yes, there are taxes. Yes, there are CPAs. You should realize that this is an umbrella term, right? This is the big term. You need to get down to someone who does corporate taxes, and now you need to get down to, or corporate payroll or whatever we're talking about, and then the next tier down that they understand small business. Because tax code is enormous, right? There are all different kinds of accountants. There are all kinds of CPAs, and they don't all know each section of the tax code that might apply to you. So ask, my best suggestion on that is ask other NCSs who have had good experiences. Who do you use for your bookkeeping, or who do you use as a CPA? Because much in the way that nanny agencies have learned that the Bob Kings and the Lisa Pearson Weinbergers of the world are great attorneys because you don't have to explain what an NCS or a nanny does as you're starting conversation, this is true in the CPA and bookkeeping world. Start with someone who has a baseline knowledge of our industry and the nuances of it, because we're a niche industry and it's not like everything else. You want an accountant that says, oh, wait, but I know you gave me your organizer, but I noticed that you didn't have anything in here for whatever, travel expenses. Did you forget that, or did you not travel this year? You did all local jobs. That's the hallmark of a good accountant, someone who can anticipate things, not just process what you gave them. And that comes with experience in the industry. So much in the same way that in my broader work, that's not just NCS, but the nanny industry as a whole, you can have a stellar, well-known CPA to the stars, but it doesn't mean that they know anything about household payroll. So same is true here. Ask for recommendations. Ask what went wrong or right to someone like Tanya that has had some experience in doing more than 1 year of taxes in this industry and say, was there anything you would go back and tell your CPA that you didn't know? Or something that was a red flag to you but you didn't know till it was too late? Those sort of things, and get some recommendations and some pointers.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that you gave that advice about somebody who understands our industry, because otherwise you're gonna spend the first hour plus explaining our industry and then the nuances of it. And a lot of times they just don't get it. I can't tell you how many times I personally have gotten bad tax advice. And in the end, you know what? I always come back to Homework Solutions and say, hey, this is what I was told. Is this right? You know, or talk to, there's also other industry experts you can talk to, but I always come back with, this is what I was told. I always come back and verify, because more often than not, even when the tax professional thinks they understand our industry, they don't understand enough of the nuances of it to get it right. Because you're right, it really is a niche industry. And then NCS is even more of a niche within that industry. So that's absolutely just great advice.
And things are constantly changing, right? Mm-hmm. Look at all this new legislation since March. Yeah. You know, how does that affect a business versus a person? There were two totally different pieces of legislation, one geared towards one geared towards the other. So yeah. Like your CPA will have ever-changing information.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So is there anything else around this topic that you want to make sure that we leave our audience with before we finish up tonight?
I would say, having owned a small business myself in this industry, I would say that it's easy to think you'll keep up with things that you won't, because your work will get in the way of your business. And so I would, when I'm doing all of this research, you're already there. You're already in the midst of it. Your brain's already there. Form a plan. So take the information and say, okay, on the calendar, on these dates, I'm going to add up my invoices and make sure that my accountant gets my tax filings so that I'm not going, okay, they're due tomorrow, and if I don't get them to him tomorrow, then we go into penalty and interest territory. Those are things. As you're deciding this and moving forward and saying, yes, I'm a business. Okay, next step. Yes, I still want to be a business. Next step. Yes. You know, go through and make yourself a plan for this year and next. And obviously this is going to change and adjust as your business grows, but get those important dates on the calendar. When is your license set to renew? This year? Is it a 2-year license? You know, those quarterly tax payments, you know, all of those things. Get everything on the calendar, get a plan, because once you dive into that set of twins or triplets that you're on next, and you know, as a mother of twins, I love them dearly, but the best of intentions, sometimes they're not in unison and you're not getting a lot of sleep and all of those sort of things. You have the best of intentions to say, I'm going to do this on Friday. And then Thursday night, no one sleeps. And you say, okay, I'll do it on Saturday, or I'm only working 6, so I'll do it on my 7th day, or whatever it is. Best of intentions, great. But have things that you are marking off. I have completed this. I have completed this. Because it's so easy to have one of these little things slip through that then causes some semi-major problem for you. And if nothing else, we're all strapped for time. And that's not something you want to spend your time going back and undoing. So that's what I would say is, regardless of which way you set this up, obviously the business is the more complicated, but I do know that's sort of where probably most of the people in this audience will end up. Make sure that you form a plan and you stick to it, because for me, this is how you pay yourself. Regardless of what the money says, you pay yourself in building your future with this, and little mistakes now cause big issues later. So just go ahead and build that foundation, keep it going, and keep yourself important. The families that you work for are important, the children are important, but so are you, and so is your business.
Absolutely. That's great. So research everything, consult with the experts, be intentional, and make a plan.
Yes, those right? would be amazing hallmarks to take out of this conversation.
Yep, absolutely. So thank you so much for joining us tonight on Real Talk, Rachel. It has been an honor to have you on here. We always learn so much when anybody from Homework Solutions comes and shares with us, and I know that our audience loves it. So really, thank you. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely, anytime.
Great. So if you have any questions for Rachel around this topic or anything related to tax issues in the domestic staffing world, whether you're a caregiver, whether you're an agency, whether you're a parent, they are an amazing resource at Homework Solutions. Rachel and the entire team, they're so helpful and they do such a great job. So feel free to reach out to them. All their information is going to be in the feed. And if you have a specific question, tag her in the feed or tag Newborn Care Solutions. And even if it's afterwards on the replay, we'll make sure that we get that information for you. So thank you so much for joining us. And if you're wanting to rewatch this segment or catch any of our past Real Talk episodes, click on over to newborncaresolutions.com and hit the education tab, and it will take you to all of our resources that are out there to serve the industry. Thanks for joining us tonight. Have a fantastic evening. Thanks for listening to the Real Talk with Tanya Sackowitz podcast. Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes. And if you liked what you heard, please share it on social media or send it directly to someone you think might benefit. It would also be a huge support if you could rate and review the podcast on whatever player you're currently listening on so that other people can find the content easier. You can also connect to us by following us on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and TikTok, or checking out our website at newborncaresolutions.com. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode of the Real Talk podcast with Tanya Sackowitz.